From APM in Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill in for Ben Johnson, exploring the latest on how technology is changing our lives and our society. Now's the time of year we jump from gift-giving and cookie-eating to self-bettering. It's time to get those New Year's resolutions ready to go. And why not make some of them tech-related? Molly Wood is senior tech correspondent at Marketplace. So, Molly, what tech resolutions do you have for us for 2016?
I'm going to start off this year by telling everyone to change their dang passwords. Just change them. And in fact, I even have a tip for how to make that easier. Everyone in the new year should install a password manager, like 1Password or LastPass. And these pieces of software are magical, and they will automatically change all of your passwords to impossible-to-guess passwords and then remember them for you. So you need one really hard password to protect them all. And then you can change them all at once. This is the year when I think cyber attacks, they're just going to get worse. We've seen some like astonishing breaches over the last year, and it's going to keep going. And the single best thing you can do to protect yourself is change your dang password. Next on my list is to put the phone down.
Give up
Make
on
some
tech.
Rules. I know. I mean, I should probably give up because I've clearly lost this battle in society. But I have found that it's been really useful with my child, especially, to just make rules like no phones at the table and to take periodic breaks from Twitter and social media, because I think you can really start to get down and you can really get sucked into the minutiae of the world around you and forget that maybe your life is actually pretty good.
Is there any sort of try something new tech resolution you've got for us?
Yeah, this is going to sound counterintuitive because there's so much tech coming out that I actually think the way to try something new is to try to reinvigorate your old tech. I'm not a huge DIY person, but just as one example, I have a really old Bose SoundDock speaker, and it used to dock with one of the really old iPhones. Obviously, it doesn't anymore, and it's just been gathering dust. But then I bought a $35 Chromecast audio and plugged it in to the speaker, and now I can stream music from my phone to the speaker. I sort of turned it into this wireless speaker. Huh. So I think that there are ways that you can spend less to get your old tech doing something new, doing a new trick, and it's really worth investigating.
Molly Wood, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
High up on a lot of our goal lists for 2016, we'll be getting healthier. Weight Watchers has just launched a massive new campaign. But if you're looking for a less traditional path to exercising more and eating less, we asked nutritionist Monica Reinagle whether tech can help. She blogs at nutritionovereasy.com and is host of the Nutrition Diva podcast.
You can set an alarm on your phone, but it's not going to get you out of bed. It's not going to lace up your sneakers. But there are some ways in which technology can help give you that extra nudge and that motivation.
She says some of the most successful strategies for getting in shape involve keeping a journal on an app or just with pen and paper.
There are apps now that, in addition to helping you keep track of what you're doing, which can be motivating in and of itself, can actually pair you with an accountability coach who will check in with you, who will call and see, did you get up? Did you get to the gym?
Perhaps in the future, there'll be an app that you can use to send a drone to your house and carry you to the gym, kicking and screaming. But until then, actually getting up and getting out, that's on you. Marketplace Tech is listener-supported. To keep our coverage relevant and compelling, consider making a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift in any amount counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. Ever seen a YouTube video where your favorite YouTuber is clearly hawking a product? Gabby Dunn says you might want to cut them some slack. She recently wrote an article for Fusion called Get Rich or Die Vlogging: The Sad Economics of Internet Fame. She has her own YouTube channel with her collaborator Allison Raskin called Just Between Us. It has more than 500,000 followers, but Gabby says she's still just scraping by, like a lot of other YouTube stars.
There's hidden costs that people don't see. And I started to get very nervous, too, because I would have young kids come up to me and go, I want to be a YouTuber when I grow up. And I was like, no, you don't want to be a YouTuber. You want to be a makeup artist with a YouTube channel. You want to be in video production. You want to be a comedian and a screenwriter who writes scripted content for YouTube, whatever it is. But the idea of like, I'm a YouTuber as a job, I started to get very nervous that there's an entire generation that thinks that that's a job.
And so if you guys were willing to just start doing product promotions all the time or take every offer that was made available to you, could you make a better living at this?
Oh, absolutely. But we would lose all our followers. Because the followers don't understand. They like really get so pissed and so resentful. And I never understood that because they'd be like, everything you do is promoted. But if you look at our channel, there's 120 videos that are free and they're all free. They're all free. 120 videos that we made without a sponsor and 5 we've made with a sponsor. And people are so resentful and so rude about it because they think you're getting money for nothing.
So what's your sort of vision for the future and actually making money at what you do?
I mean, Allison and I would like to be showrunners. And there's a new thing called YouTube Originals and YouTube Red, which is paid content on YouTube. So that's a very interesting thing. They're trying to do sort of the Netflix Amazon model. And we would love to be showrunners. We would love to do stuff for that or on an Amazon or Hulu or Netflix type situation. Maybe even on TV if that still exists. Who can say? Yeah, I mean, we want to keep creating. The best thing, I used to think that there was an end game. Like how a lot of young kids are like, I want to be a YouTuber and that's the end game. Mm-hmm. Now I'm sort of like the best you can hope for is to keep working. And that's what I want. I want to keep working. But there needs to be some financial security in that working.
And so do you think that path to financial security looks more like traditional media than like YouTube?
It looks like traditional media, but YouTube is doing traditional media. YouTube's doing YouTube Originals. Like they're making a sort of mirror of that model. So I don't know. I wonder if those things will be digital, but they will look very similar to traditional media.
Gabby Dunn, thanks so much.
Thanks.
You can find more tech on our website, marketplacetech.org. I'm Adrienne Hill, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.